Welcome back to Sports Day. Badge and Sats here for your Thursday night. This man has a brand new song out. I love it. Hold Me Steady is new. It's out tomorrow. Pete Murray is back with brand new music. And I reckon he's probably a lot more toner. Not that he was fat before. I'm not saying that.
No.
But he's been on SAS, and no doubt he's been punished on that as well. Pete Murray, welcome to Sports Day, mate.
Hey, guys. Thank you very much. At times, the belly was kind of poking out a little bit too far in the shots, I did notice, but I was trying to suck it in the best I could for the show.
Congratulations, Pete, on a new song, Hold Me Steady, which as Jace is saying, comes out very, very soon. And I mean, before we touch on that, multiple award-winning album with Feeler, can you believe it's only a couple of years and it's 20 years ago?
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? Mate, I remember back when that, just before that came out, that album, you know, I didn't think it was going to work. I thought it was destined to fail. I was just so surprised when everything just took off so quickly too. Like it was a really quick rise. But that album just set up my whole career. You know, it's still very popular today with a lot of the fans as well. So, you know, you can go anywhere around the world and play those songs and people know at least one of them, you know.
Yeah, now I've been educating Badge and also Jace about your time at Nudgee, where you're a very good athlete, a great rugby union player, a great track and field as well. And then it was actually a knee injury, wasn't it, that actually forced you down the road of music?
Yes, mate. Yeah, back in the school days when we were all young and fit, it was good fun. I used to do run fours and eights. And obviously played rugby as well. I was a swimmer too, but I hated swimming. It was just too much for me. I was too kind of boring being in your own head for so long, you know, in the water. But I loved athletics, loved footy, and I was I did some athletics after school. I kind of ran at the Commonwealth Games trials in 1990, I think it was. And union. I didn't play much union. It was kind of bits and pieces here and there. But I was at a time in union when there was a chance, because I came off of an athletic season where, you know, when you're running fours and eights, you're super fit. And the sevens in the rugby was, 7 minutes half. You'd need fitness. And if you had fitness, it was much easier to run around guys, basically. You'd keep going for the whole game. So there was a chance of me making an Australian side to go over to Hong Kong sevens back then. But I had a knee injury around the same time, and it was all kind of, you know, it was just bad luck, I guess. And or good luck, you know. I kind of look at it now as good luck, because it's I went and picked up a guitar. I was doing some study in natural medicine at the time. I went overseas, took a break. By the time I sort of came back from overseas, backpacking around, I was really right into music, and I still didn't think that was going to be a big career for me. I thought it would be something that I could do, and, you know, maybe play a few covers at the pub. to keep me going for a while. And I did that for a little while, and then one thing led to another, and before I knew it, you know, I had written my first album, which quite late at that stage. So I was 30 at the time, so it's quite late to be doing that sort of thing. But, you know, things took off not long after that.
Are you saying that at around 18 you picked up a guitar for the first time? Surely there must have been some more music in your life before that.
No, I was 21.
21,
mate, around the time. Yeah. I had no music at all. Nothing in
not
the family.
Too late for
I
me.
Just I had not too late at all. So I think when I had the success at the age of 30, 31, 32, whatever it was, I remember giving a lot of hope for guys in their 30s to know that, you know, it doesn't really matter what age you are, you can be successful if you put your mind to it, and you just can't be a pop star, you know, because your pop stars are all pretty young. But, writing the style of music that I do, I guess it's kind of the longevity that I go for, and it's fairly broad market with all sorts of ages that can be attracted to it. So, I was still surprised, guys, you know, when it happened, and to have that success the way I did. I never expected it to be that big, and, still, even 20 years later, still doing it. That's the hardest thing, I think, having success in music business, because it's a very hard business to try and be successful in. You can get, I guess, have that luck early on that you'll see it. A lot of bands, a lot of artists will have that successful album and then they fade away. You know, you don't hear from them again. It's a really it's a really hard thing to have success, but then it's even harder to maintain it. So I feel very privileged that I'm still here and still playing and, you know, still have a good fan base.
Yeah. Did you draw on much of that, you know, not just your athletics and your footy, you know, your prowess and your fitness when you went on SAS, but also the fact you tried something completely new and you made a go of it? Did you draw on some of that while you were doing that crazy show?
SAS? Yeah. Well, look, you guys, you know, when you're involved in sport, you've got a drive, haven't you, to be successful and to go as well as you can. So I've always had that. I carried the drive I had in sport into music. So music was, you know, for me, I still just had that drive to be successful. And even now, I still haven't lost that. I still want to be doing other things. When I saw the first show last year, I looked at it and went, wow, that'd be awesome. I'd love to do something like that, just for the adventure, where you go, what you do. It's not that often you get a chance to be jumping out of helicopters and, you know, all being, you know, putting your seatbelt on in a Jeep and being sunk, 6 metres below the water and trying to get yourself out of there. But that appeals to me. It's not going to appeal to everybody. I like the thrill of trying to push yourself as far as you can. So when SAS came up, I was kind of a little bit nervous because I'm 51 now, you know, so you're not young. When you're younger, you can kind of manage these things a lot easier. When you get to 50, it's, as you guys know, it's harder, you know, to try and do that. Yeah. The older you get, trying to recover from things. And so that was my biggest concern. How would my body go holding up with this stuff? And I had a bit of a calf injury straight away a couple of weeks before I went in there. And it settled down a little bit. And by the time the first, one of the first things on the first day we had to do was a helicopter, jumping out of the helicopter and going across a ladder. And then jumping back in the helicopter and probably like 20 metres above the water. So there's a lot of factors that go into, you know, getting this right. You've got to basically, you know, helicopter that's moving. So you're a long way up. So if you start freaking out mentally, you're not switched on, you're going to fall and all these things you've got to think about. So, you know, to do that stuff at an older age, it's kind of like, can I do that? And I remember going to the park with my daughter. It was only like about a month earlier. The monkey bars, you know that, and I had the same thing. I couldn't. I only got halfway across and fell off. I had this fear going, oh no, this is not a good start for me. I'm going to fall off in the water. But you know, I managed to get through it and pretty comfortably, which was great. You know, so it was nice to do that.
Yeah, there's nothing better than seeing people face their fears and get through the other side, which you're getting to do now. You can't give too much away, but last night's episode, of course, was Kobe Abbott and cheating in the push-ups. Now, what was the environment like amongst all the contestants when, and we didn't get to see all of it, but what was it like when it was unveiled that he had not only just missed a couple, he'd missed 15 push-ups as part of one of those challenges?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? There were a few guys pretty peeved about it. I actually really believe Kobe didn't mean to do it. Hey, I think he's just the sort of guy that's just so gung-ho. He was more about trying to just get in first. And I think he was trying his best to get there. And I think I spoke to him later that night because he was really upset about being called a cheat, you know, and he said, I didn't do it on purpose. And he said, I think I must have gone into it and counted one when I went down and two when I came up. So he was doing like double counting as he was doing the push-ups. And to be honest, I just, if you don't know him, you'd think that's bullshit, mate. But if you know him, you'd go, you know, that's something that he would do. And he wouldn't mean to do it. But it was still tricky because some people did doubt that and they doubted him for making that mistake, or whether they thought he was, you know, had cheated. It was definitely started to divide the camp up a little bit with the people that were kind of into it. He's a real character, Toby, and he and I got on really well.
Now, we spoke to Sammy Burgess last night. We know what he's like in confrontation, how he loves that competitive streak. How'd you find him?
Yeah, Sam and I got on like a house on fire. We actually drove out in the car together, so we'd never met each other before. But I knew there was going to be another competitor that was doing it, that was going to meet at the same hotel where I was staying that night. I didn't know who it was, and the funny thing was, the day before I was catching a flight up to from Ballina to Sydney, and I had too much stuff. I had to get rid of all my bags. No, sorry, I missed. I was almost ready to miss my flight, and so I couldn't check my bags on. So all I could do, I had to get rid of the big bag, and my wife had this little pink backpack. She said, just shove your stuff in the pink backpack, and here's a couple of plastic bags. So I'm getting onto the plane with these two plastic bags and a pink backpack, and it's kind of a bit embarrassing. And I didn't sort of, I mean, as a bloke, you know, it's a bit embarrassing. People might recognise me, I'm wearing a pink backpack, and it's like, just not so manly, you know. And anyway, I get into Sydney, I go to bed that night, and I get up in the morning. It's still the only thing I've got is this pink backpack. And I've got to meet another guy who's involved in this show, and Sam Burgess. So first thing, I walked down, and I had to explain, listen, I just want to explain, that's my boss. It's not mine. So he had a bit of luck. We sort of got on like house on flight straight away. So the drive was about 2 hours out to where we had to go, and we just talked the whole way because, you know, we both love our footy, and we talked about everything. So we got on really well. Sam's a terrific guy. Obviously, he was copping a hard time in the media for a long time, and he's one of those guys. You know him. He's a really lovely bloke, and you know, there's not much. I can't say anything bad about him. He's a unit, you know, and you guys would have seen him in the tunnel that day.
Mm.
Did you see that one?
Yeah, yes. Crazy.
But that freaky. That was insane. Mm. In a way, I'm glad he got stuck because I was straight after him, and they didn't let me. We ran out of time, so I didn't have to do it.
No so, way.
So thanks for getting.
Yeah, you're kidding.
Thanks for getting your head.
How good is that?
I didn't know what it was. Well, Sam and I were together, and Ant Middleton, one of the DS guys, came up, and he sort of, we didn't know what we were doing. Just one by one, people running off, and you could hear this banging on something, and your guys are going, yeah, halfway, keep going. And I just looked at Sam, I said, I can guarantee this is some sort of tunnel under the ground that we've got to do. I know it is. And then Ant came up to us, and he said, you guys are going to love this one, because Sam and I are probably, you know, a couple of the biggest guys there, I guess, and the broadest. And so Ant's like, you guys are going to love this. Especially Sam, he was huge, you know. And I've gone, no, it's a tunnel. And he came up and said, look, this is a tunnel. And the only way for you two guys, I'm just giving you some advice. The only way that you're going to get through this is to put your arms above your head and use your fingers to push yourself along, and your toes to pull yourself along. And I'm sitting there going, oh my God, how tight is this thing? And how long do you go for under there?
So
I'm sitting here. I would rather not know about it.
Yeah,
once
true.
You start thinking about these things, it gets in your head. So I'm sitting here, I'm doing all these arm shapes and how do I go like this and should I do this, one arm down, one arm up, and panicking about it. And Sam gets called to go. And there's about probably, I think, five of us left that hadn't had a chance. So Sam, off he goes, and we're sitting there waiting, and I'm thinking, God, this must be, you know, shocking to do. And then one of the DS comes down and says, rightio, you guys are off the hook. Your mate Sam's stuck in there. And I was thinking to myself, great. You little ripper. Good on you. That's great. Rather than going, I hope he's okay. I was sitting there going, I was cheering, going, good on you. That's great.
it was just great TV. So getting in tunnels and getting dipped into water inside a car and having to climb out of a helicopter and do that ladder traverse and some crazy stuff. Yep. You can't give it away, but are we in for some more frightening and hair-raising stuff?
Well, look, for me, I think the first 4 days were the really intense things like that. But there's still a lot more to come, yeah. And, you know, it is SAF, so you know you don't know what you're in for. That's the thing. Every day that you're sitting there, you don't know what's up next.
Is that where the words to this, the name of your song, your title of your song, "Hold Me Steady"? Was that inspired
Hold
by
Hold Me Steady?
On the show,
that's right.
Crossing the helicopter
sounds
ladder,
like it,
or
doesn't
what?
It? Sounds it like does. I wrote it last the other week in the course.
What's the motivation?
Behind
the song
for that song,
yeah.
So I wrote the music here in Byron Bay, and I went for a tour over in the UK, and the guys who were supporting me, Joe and Dave Dunwell, a couple of boys from Leeds, and I was up in Leeds and spent a bit of time with them, jumped in the studio and before we went on the tour, and and they helped me sort of, you know, write the lyrics for this song and put it together. So it really got some great soulful vocals. That's their vocals and the harmonies on the song. And it's just a really soulful song, mate. You know, it's about someone awesome, when you know, someone that you think is really amazing, who, whether it's your parents, your partner, or your kids. It's just, it's one of those songs that's really positive for me. It's been, I mean, I've only sort of been singing it recently, so I'm still getting used to it, but it's a really great song to sing when you're singing the chorus, because it is such a beautiful song, you know, and positive.
Yeah, it's a great song. It hooked me in straight up, Pete. It's a great song indeed. Hey, just quickly, before we let you go, footy finals, yep. You love your footy. How do you think that's going to – who's going to be in the GF? And is it a Melbourne Storm grand final to lose, Pete?
You know what, mate? I was disappointed when the Panthers went out the other day, because I thought, you know, a rematch between Storm and Panthers would be a great grand final. I kind of feel – I think the Panthers are going to beat the Eels. I think it's going to be – the grand final for me, I think, is going to be Melbourne and Panthers. I think the Bunnies are going to get through the grand final on the other side. And I think whoever wins out of the Panthers or the Storm, you know, that's going to be a hell of a game. I mean, depending on how they're going to go, they're going to be pretty wrecked for the Bunnies. Or it could be harder. But I think Bunnies – I'm going to say Bunnies and the Panthers. I reckon the Panthers might lift after that loss last week, and I think they might lift.
And will we see you centre stage NRL Grand Final at Suncorp Stadium playing entertainment?
Please.
Can you confirm or deny? Yourself.
Please.
I haven't been contacted about anything yet, mate. So
it's going to be Bloody Shepherd again.
You love it, Woogie.
Pete, please don't. Mate, can you ring PVL? Put your hand up. I can't have Shepherd again,
Stop
mate.
It. I can't. They're good. They're good artists.
Pete, put your hand up, please, mate. I'll give you another plug. Pete Murray is back with a brand new music.
I'll be totally up for it, guys.
In the shape of Hold Me Steady. Out tomorrow, Pete, we could talk to you. I mean, Sats wanted to talk to you about your alpacas as well.
Go feed your alpacas, Pete.
Have you got alpacas?
On the next interview, Sats will talk. No, mate, I haven't got those.
Well, I'll get some.
Yeah, for next time. Pete Murray, thanks for joining us on Sports Day, mate.
Thanks, guys.
The great Pete Murray, who doesn't want to see Shepherd sing the grand final as well.
No,
I heard him say it.
No, he didn't say that.
He didn't.
He supports Queensland talent.
Yes, the word talent is correct.
He did say he'd put his hand up. He'll put his hand up.
And Badge?
Love to do it.
And Badge, what does that mean? You're with me on this.
That means get him.
I'll take one for the team. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. Available as a hybrid, plug-in hybrid and full electric. This is Sports Day.